According to Robert Sherman, who, along with his brother Richard, wrote more motion picture musical song scores than any other songwriting team in film history, it was Walt Disney's favorite song. You might guess that it was a fun, lively song like Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo from Cinderella, or You Can Fly from Peter Pan, or maybe Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious from Mary Poppins. But it wasn't. It was very different from any of those. It came as a lullaby that Mary Poppins sings to Jane and Michael Banks on the night before their trip to the city with their father. They are very excited. He's never taken them on an outing before, and they look forward to all the sights he can point out to them. Well, most things he can, Mary tells them. Sometimes a person we love, through no fault of his own, can't see past the end of his nose. Past the end of his nose, Jane asks. Yes, Mary says. Sometimes a little thing can be quite important. And then she shows them a snow globe, inside of which is St. Paul's Cathedral. In place of snowflakes, there are lots and lots of birds. Father passes that every day, Jane says. He sees that. But there is something or someone he doesn't see.
Early each day to the steps of St. Paul's, the little old bird woman comes in her own special way to the people she calls. Come by my bags full of
The song tells of a ragged old woman who sits on the cathedral steps selling bags of breadcrumbs to the passersby for tuppence or 2 pence, about 4 cents, so that they can feed the birds. Feed the birds tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag. Feed the birds, that's what she cries, while overhead her birds fill the skies. All around the cathedral, the saints and apostles look down as she sells her wares. Although you can't see it, you know they are smiling each time someone shows that he cares. The next day, when Jane and Michael pass the cathedral, they see the bird woman, and Michael wants to feed the birds with the tuppence he has saved. But his father, Mr. Banks, is horrified at the idea. Waste your money on a lot of ragamuffin birds? Certainly not, he says. I shall not allow you to throw your money away. He thinks Michael should invest his money prudently and extols the virtues of such a strategy. When you deposit tuppence in a bank account, safe, and soon you'll see that it blooms into credit of a generous amount, semi-annually. And you'll achieve that sense of stature as your influence expands to the high financial strata that established credit now commands. The strategy is far from feeding the birds with a bag of breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs. When I think of breadcrumbs, I think of these. These uniformly shaped, perfectly seasoned, nicely packaged breadcrumbs. But I doubt very much this is what the old woman is selling. She is feeding the birds with leftover, dried out, old scraps of bread. You know the parts I mean. The parts of the bread in my family, the end pieces, that no one wants. So they get hard and stale, and they're all broken into little pieces because everyone has repeatedly pushed past them to get to the slices in the middle of the loaf. But you know, sometimes a little thing, like breadcrumbs, can be very important and useful. Like as a crunchy topping on the top of mac and cheese, for example. Breadcrumbs can be used in things like meatloaf to stretch the meat a little farther or to give it a better texture. They also act as a binder to help hold everything together. Hansel used breadcrumbs to mark the way back home. Follow the crumbs, if you will, even though they did end up feeding the birds. There are even breadcrumbs in technology. They are a series of hyperlinks at the top of a web page, letting you know where that page is in relation to the entire website, providing a way to trace your way back to your starting point. That is the kind of breadcrumbs the disciples may have been wishing for as evening approaches and the crowd converges and they wonder, how in the world did we get here? And more importantly, how do we get back home? They have traveled with Jesus as he has taught and healed and stirred up lots of trouble with the religious leaders by questioning things like, who is worthy? And what is holy? And who is of value? And what is the kingdom of God like? Jesus has just learned of the execution of John the Baptist. So he gets into a boat and goes off by himself to pray. But when the crowds hear it, they follow him on foot from the towns. So when Jesus comes ashore, he sees the crowd and, as Matthew puts it, has great compassion for them and cures their sick. As the day gives way to evening, the disciples tell Jesus, this is a deserted place. And they want Jesus to send the crowds away so they can go buy food. But Jesus tells them, you give them something to eat. Disciples, however, have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But taking the loaves, Jesus looks up to heaven, blesses and breaks them, and gives them to the disciples, and the disciples give them to the crowds. Astonishingly, everyone eats and is filled. And Matthew says they are 5,000 men plus women and children. We know this story as the feeding of the 5,000. It's the only one of Jesus' miracle stories that is reported in all 4 of the Gospels. And much ado has been made over the centuries about what exactly constituted the miracle and how Jesus may have accomplished it. Did he multiply the loaves? Did they grow to enormous proportions? Did everyone just decide to share what they had brought with them? And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Because this is so much more than a miracle story. This is a story about compassion. It's a story about healing, hospitality, vision, communion. Those are the things that form the basis of the story. Those things, and also breadcrumbs. As I said, the story is reported in each of the four Gospels. We've already heard Matthew start by saying that Jesus saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. Mark starts it this way. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In his gospel, John says this: Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him. And Luke begins, when the crowds found out about it, they followed him and he welcomed them. Jesus sees them. Sometimes we can't see past the end of our nose, but Jesus sees them. He has compassion for them. He cures them. He welcomes them. And then he feeds them. In the same way that he will institute Holy Communion at the Last Supper, in the same way that we bless and break and share bread, the body of Christ, each week, Jesus takes the bread, gives it thanks for it, breaks it, and gives it to the disciples, who in turn serve it to the people. When the people have eaten and they've been filled, they gather up what was left over of the broken pieces. The Greek word Matthew uses for broken pieces, or in some translations, fragments, is klasmata. The same word is used in the Eucharistic prayer in the Didache, an early Christian document dating from the first century, for the communion bread. The Didache says, just as this fragment of bread was scattered over the hills and was gathered into one loaf, so let your church be brought together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Fragments. Breadcrumbs. Lots and lots of breadcrumbs. 12 baskets full. There was a time when the church didn't want anything to do with breadcrumbs. For the first 1,000 years or so, the bread used in the church for the celebration of communion was ordinary bread that people brought from their homes. But over time, as people were seen as unworthy, too unholy for the holiness of the body and blood of Christ, the church moved away from ordinary table bread and began using unleavened, specially prepared wafers or hosts. Maybe some of you are familiar with those. Not only did wafers like this keep longer without spoiling, but they were neater. They were tidier and much easier to control. But most importantly, they could be broken and given without making any crumbs. And they didn't want to deal with the crumbs. But if we think about it, Jesus was all about the crumbs. He loved them. He gave himself away for them. He spent his life and ministry with pretty crummy people. It was the crumbs for whom Jesus felt compassion, the crumbs whom he healed and welcomed and invested in. It was the crumbs whom he fed. Not the well-seasoned, uniformly sized, nicely packaged crumbs like these, but the people on the ends of the loaf that were unwanted. The ones who got old and stale and all broken up, like the ones in the Bird Woman's song. And amazingly, it was also the crumbs who did the feeding. The uneducated fishermen, the tax collectors, the women, the sinners, and all the others Jesus called as disciples. You give them something to eat, he tells them. Feed the birds. And they do. I guess Mary Poppins was right, after all. Sometimes a little thing, a little person, can be quite important. And I guess Jesus knew what breadcrumbs can do. After all, the religious experts of his time thought him a bit of a crumb, too. They bind a community together. They give it some texture. They stretch it farther than they thought it could go, and they extend its life. They make things pretty interesting, and they can help us find our way home. So if you are looking for healing, if you are looking for wholeness, if you're looking to be fed, if you just want to go home, if you want to find Jesus, follow the crumbs. Though his words are simple and few, listen, listen. He's calling for you. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag. Tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag.